Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Crystal. So we began this series on family matters just before Mother's Day. And today, on Father's Day, we're starting to bring this series to a close. And so I hope that you have not only enjoyed it, but that it has inspired you to consider your role in the family and the spiritual and eternal implications of that. Today we're going to talk about fatherhood at length, and then next week we're going to wrap up the series with another reading from Joshua as we talk about family as a ministry. So last week I sat with Donna and her son Justin while Marty was having his surgery, and we got to talking about ministry, and Justin shared with me the following statistics. He said, if a child is the first person in the family to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian in the household, there is a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. However, when the father is the first to become a Christian, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. So I sat with that for a solid week, and I thought about those statistics, and I really felt like this is an urgent matter, you know, that we need to be doing more as churches to minister to fathers, knowing that information, assuming these statistics are true. And I did check around. There are articles that highlight these surveys. It tells us of the impact that fathers have on the faith formation of their family. So I did some more research, and I found out the following. According to a Barna study in 2019, more than 70% of practicing Christian teens say their fathers have the biggest impact on their faith when the father regularly prays or reads scripture at home. Now, on the other side of this, say with Christians who are not practicing, or maybe even going through a period or a season of doubt, I believe that there exists some correlations between disconnection with their fathers and disconnection with faith. And I believe this because I have had countless people tell me that they struggled to understand the love and grace of God because they were abandoned, abused, and mistreated by their fathers. They had a difficult time trusting in their heavenly Father to love them or even care about their existence when their earthly father should have loved them and failed to do so in various ways. According to a Lifeway research in 2020, over 90% of teens say they look to their parents, especially their fathers, as the most significant spiritual role model in their lives. Pew Research Center says children whose fathers are actively involved in faith communities are at least 2 times more likely to be involved as adults, and they are more likely to view faith as relevant in everyday life. So why do these statistics matter? Well, because they provide us insight that the spiritual thermometer of the home is often the father's involvement. When a father takes to heart worshiping, praying, studying, and serving, his children are more likely to do the same. And even if a father does not lead with his words, because, you know, some of our fathers are not great with words, right? They're better with their actions. So even when they do that, their presence, their priorities, they shape the worldview and the faith of the household. So fathers, your influence is further reaching than you probably realize. So the challenge here is for you to consider how you might posture your life so that your family will see you as a godly father and leader. Maybe they already see you this way. Maybe they already see you as a godly father and leader, but if there has been hurt feelings, if there has been disconnect or misunderstandings, some disunity, before you look to others as the cause or the source of the conflict, consider first what is inside of you. How is it with your soul? John Wesley was a huge advocate of spiritual inventory, and he had his classes and covenant groups ask themselves a series of questions weekly to assess the condition of their hearts. And at the top of that list was the question, how is it with your soul? Notice he doesn't ask, how is it with your son's soul? How is it with your daughter's soul? How is it with your spouse's soul? It has to start with you. How is it with your soul? The home can be a spiritual battlefield, right? More times it is than it isn't. So fathers must be spiritually strong for their families. And fathers tend to think they need to be physically strong, emotionally strong, financially strong to be true leaders in their families. But God says you need to be first and foremost spiritually strong. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Fathers tend to equate strong and courageous with holding down a job and providing, being ready to defend the home, being willing to lay down their lives for the home if necessary, or keeping their emotions in check, not showing their vulnerable side. That's not what God is talking about when he says strong and courageous. So what does it mean to be strong and courageous? And what does it mean to be a godly father? So I'm going to highlight three things based on this passage. The first is you need to be strong in the word. So if we back up one verse to Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So you don't become strong in the word without being focused and very intentional on studying that. Families don't need a father who is macho, who is physically strong, but one who is shaped by the word. So when you prioritize reading, reflecting, and applying the word, so much so that it becomes ingrained in your conversation, in your correction, in your encouragement, that shapes the way you lead your home. It shapes the way you talk. It shapes the way you guide, how you relate to others, how you respond when times get tough. That's where the real strength comes. The second thing is you become courageous in responsibility. So if we back up even further to Joshua 1:6, God said, be strong and courageous, for you shall lead these people. So courage does not mean the absence of fear. Courage does not mean the absence of fear. Some fathers try to pretend that they're not afraid of anything. Am I right? Is this thing on? Every time I ask Travis if he's afraid, he tells me no. But I know better, right? Because he's a human being. He's not a machine. And I know when he's afraid because of the way he laughs. Y'all ever heard a nervous laugh? Okay, he does that when he's afraid. He has that nervous laugh. And spouses, children, you know, you can probably gauge when your father or your husband is experiencing times of fear. Fathers, you need to know it's okay to be afraid. Again, you are human. No one expects you to have all the answers, or at least they shouldn't. To be sure, the world offers you many reasons to be afraid. The economy, the culture, but courage, again, does not mean the absence of fear. It means being obedient in the face of it. You won't always know the answer. And you won't always be ready to take the next step, but you keep moving forward. And you undergird your steps with prayer and trust that the Lord is going to pave that path as you continue forward. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when it is scary. Love fights for the things that truly matter, even if there's a cost. It seeks to do the right thing. That is true courage. And lastly, a godly father is secure in God's presence. So God doesn't just command, he accompanies. In the stress of your work, in sleepless nights, in the turmoil of your relationships, God accompanies you. Life gets messy, but know that you're not walking through that alone, right? David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? When Joshua faced the battle at Jericho, he learned that the battle was not won by skill alone, but by trust, obedience, and by God's presence. And that steady trust needs to be the foundation your home is built on to be healthy and to prosper. So when you trust in God's presence, it shapes the way you walk. You can walk in confidence, not because you're perfect, but because you know that God is present. Your presence matters, but it's God's presence that sustains. And each step you take creates a trail your children will want to follow. So you lead your family in prayer. You make church and spiritual life a priority. You model forgiveness, humility, grace, and trust in God. So, fathers, when Joshua stood at the edge of the promised land, you know, God did not hand him a sword, didn't hand him a manual, didn't hand him a wallet full of cash. He gave him his word and his presence. And in the same way, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the things that culture would equate to success. You just need to be present, prayerful, and obedient. You won't always get it right, but that's okay. You keep showing up, and you keep relying on God to lead the way. Real strength does not come in muscles. It does not come in willpower, but with faith in Jesus. And fathers, that is the greatest legacy you can leave your family. It is not wealth. It is not success. It is a deep faith and trust in Jesus. So fathers, may God bless you and keep you. And may you continue to grow and trust in trust and faith in him who gives you strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, anchored in the promise of your word, and we turn to you as our firm and steady foundation, our good, good Father. Lord, we lift up all families to you today, every mother, every grandparent, every child, every spiritual head of household, and we especially lift up all the fathers today. You have called them to lead, not in their own strength, but in yours. Give them courage, O God. Courage to model integrity, to speak the truth in love, to pray openly, and to walk humbly before you in their homes. And when fear whispers they are not enough, remind them that you equip them. You make them able, and they are enough in your eyes. When discouragement creeps in, renew their strength through your spirit. Teach us, Lord, that spiritual leadership is not about perfection. It is about presence. Your presence in us and our presence with those we love. May our homes be filled with the sound of scripture being read, the joy of prayer being shared, and the peace that comes from trusting in you. And for those who feel like they failed, remind them that you are a God of reconciliation and restoration. For those who are weary, be their rest. For those who are just beginning the journey, let them know you go before them. Help them to be strong, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And help us to be courageous, not because the road is easy, but because you walk with us every step of the way. And we pray all this in the strong and faithful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.